1320 WILS, thank you for joining us this evening. So it's a life, an incredible life, included being a pastor, an activist, a history teacher. He faced addiction and obsessive compulsive behavior. It's the new autobiography by James Curtis Geist, Modern Augustinian Confession. James, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Yeah. Well, what's it like to sit down and write an autobiography? What was that process like?
Well, actually, I had students say, Mr. Geist, you should really write a book. You have so many funny stories. And I used to think, yeah. But I hit age 50, and it just felt right. It was time to write the book. So it was a five-month process. I just basically broke down my life into the five major passages, mm-hmm. and then basically came up with an outline for each of the different time periods and then filled it in.
Yeah. So being a pastor, activist, and history teacher, which would you say was the most meaningful career you were involved in?
I would say both pastoring and teaching. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed meeting with people, counseling, listening, getting involved with speaking out in sweatshops and modern-day slavery. It was very, very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Also, of course, teaching, working with young people. I really enjoyed helping them get prepared for the New York State Regents exams, and they frequently made me laugh, and sometimes they made me cry.
No kidding, really. Cry.
Yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't...
Well, just...
Go ahead.
No, I mean in regards to that they like to test sometimes as teenagers do sometimes.
And now part of your story is you're confronting addiction specifically. Well, what kind of addiction did you face in your life then?
Well, something called codependency. I also go to a 12-step group called Al-Anon, and that's for family and friends of alcoholics. Mm-hmm. Two of my best friends would qualify me for that. And then also there's a group called the St. Augustinian Fellowship, which is why my book is named Modern Augustinian Confession, which is also called Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Now, I would consider myself more a love addict than a sex addict, but really, it's about addictive behavior. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really till age 42 that I hit bottom that I realized that I needed some help.
Really? Because codependency, some might wonder, what is that exactly? What's an addiction to that?
I guess another word for that would be enmeshment, mm-hmm. where you feel uncomfortable in your own skin, and they tend to live their lives through other people. For example, I have a family friend. Mm-hmm. If you talk to her, all she will do is talk about her son. My son did this, my son did that. But she never really talks about her own life. Mm-hmm. And so I was very good at loving everyone else, but I was not very good at loving me, for setting boundaries, for being able to say no.
When you say you hit rock bottom at 42, what happened there?
What happened was I was going through a divorce. The woman who was my wife at the time, 98% of the time she was very sweet, but she took medication, and that 2%, she could get really crazy. So there was a time where she hit me with a broomstick. There was another time where she threatened to shoot me with a deer rifle, so I had to go to Paterson, New Jersey, and file a restraining order. At work, I had a boss who was bipolar and very petty, so I had all this stress going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So I ended up reaching out to someone that I knew from New York City. I'd known her for 14 years, and we started dating, and she was my dream girl.
Okay.
And when she broke up,
go ahead. When she broke up with you, what happened?
Well, I was just devastated because essentially she was my drug, and when it comes to love addiction, there are many chemicals that are released in the dating process, and when there's sex, the brain releases phenethylamine, dopamine, and several other drugs that just feel amazing. And then what happens is when you lose that, the body releases something called cortisone, which is why people feel so terrible when there's a breakup. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was having trouble focusing. And actually, I got to the point where I was thinking about suicide.
And, over the breakup itself, over losing this woman, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was not her fault for all the pain that I was feeling. What I came to learn was I had stuffed my feelings for 42 years. Mm-hmm. And so my father's side of the family is German. My mother's side of the family is English. We didn't really talk about feelings. We didn't do feelings.
Now, I'm curious, though, how did you avoid the traditional addictions of drugs or alcohol then?
Well, I guess, number one, it's not really in my family, although my dad used to play in a softball team called the Roaches. He worked at Mack Trucks. It was a Mack Truck League, so a number of the guys did smoke marijuana. They used to have keg parties. The kids at school said, you got the coolest dad in our whole school. Mm-hmm. But that never really appealed to me. And so addiction is really about any behavior to cover up boredom or pain or dealing with your emotions. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really do emotions. I just stuffed them. And then when her name was Manessia, when she broke up with me, that was the releasing of all the feelings I had stuffed. It was like taking them out of the freezer, and now they were beginning to thaw.
Really? Now, what happened? By the way, we're talking to James Curtis Geist. His book, his autobiography, Modern Augustinian Confession. What happens then? How did you actually? I mean, what happened to your life then? If it was such a significant moment.
What happened, Michael, was I went on the internet and started reading about how can you deal with breakup pain, and I found a book called Addicted to Love. So I got the book, I read it, and each chapter I just identified with everything that was said, and then at the end they said, there's a 12-step group called the Augustinian Fellowship, or Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Mm-hmm. So I was such a wreck that I went my first meeting was in Morristown, New Jersey. There were just two gentlemen there, and they saw I was a wreck. Now, I felt a little apprehensive about going to the meeting. I'm like, are there going to be rapists there? Are there going to be pedophiles there? And I just came to learn that there's men and women who attend. They're just really there to learn how to have a healthier relationship with themselves, with other people, with God or the higher power.
How do you control that, though, now? Because essentially it's not a drug addiction, right, where you just quit. So how do you control that emotional part of yourself?
Well, as they say, that there is no cure, but there is a solution. And the solution for me is going to 12-step meetings, making phone calls, mm-hmm. Having my quiet time with the higher power daily, and doing the next right thing, and sitting with my feelings.
Good.
What happened was, the pain that I was feeling, that's called withdrawal. And so I also met with a therapist. He said, what you need to do, Jim, is when you feel the sadness coming, you just sit there and you let it come out. And for a year, for 2 to 3 times a week, I probably cried for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and I just stayed with it until it ended. And it took about a year, but then it stopped.
Interesting. But now, it was connected to this woman, but you did not have these kinds of connections to your wife or your ex-wife? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is these were all the feelings that were inside me that I had never processed. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that unprocessed feelings, that is the fuel for addictive behavior. Now, one of the early meetings I went to, there was an old timer, and he said, you know what, this isn't really about sex. This is not really about romantic intrigue or love addiction. This is really about learning how to love yourself and learning how to process your feelings. And when I first heard that, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I really believe that. But I've been in the program 8 years, and that guy hit the nail on the head.
Do you plan to remarry, or how do you plan to deal with that?
Well, actually, I remarried in January, and her name is Helen. And what I learned, I looked at a pattern of the women I was attracted to. And something I learned is that people often tend to be attracted to to people who have the negative traits of their parents. That's what my therapist explained to me. So when I look at my first ex-wife, she was very, very critical. And so I grew up with a lot of criticism and shame, and that was something I was comfortable with. So on an unconscious level, I was comfortable with this. Now, my mother's very quiet. She struggled with depression. She has trouble expressing her thoughts and feelings. My second ex-wife was exactly like that. So what I learned is, today, no more empty wells. I need someone who gives, where there's equal energy in the relationship, where we can talk about our feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, when I was in my sickness, if I went into a room of 100 people and 99 of those people were healthy, I was going to walk out with the unhealthy person.
And this is really just part of the story. I mean, the full autobiography, Modern Augustinian Confession, James Curtis Geist, the author, his life story, Modern Augustinian Confession. Jim, it's been great to have you on WINLS. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
You are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio. This is 1320 WILS.